want you to close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to listen real careful. Just think about what the words you're going to hear. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and the today and forever. That's the word of the Lord. My subject for this morning is an old story for a new day. An old story for a new day. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. You can set your Bibles on your laps. We're going to park right here. Hebrews chapter 13 for a few moments. Now I'm sure you've heard verse 8 quoted many, many times. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a pretty popular verse. A lot of preachers use that. But the preceding verse goes right along with it and must be read with it when you're reading verse 8. Look at this with me if you would. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 7. Remember them, or in other words, respect them. Listen to them. Listen to those who have rule over you. This is talking about your spiritual leaders, your teachers, your pastors, those who have spoken unto you the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Remember these who have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, or in other words, follow the gospel that they preach. Considering the end of their conversation, or the goal of their ministry, as it says, considering the objective of their ministry. And this is the objective that comes next. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Those verses have to go together. One of the problems, and this is a quote from Henry Mahan. He says, one of the problems that we have in this day is the sickness of versitis. Versitis. We at Liberty and carelessly lift verses out of the Bible and quote them. John 3:16. Perfect example. Look how many religions quote that out of context. And they say this means that God loved the whole world. And they completely neglect and reject what our Lord says in the 17th chapter of John. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me.
Amen.
They say that this is what the Bible says. It may say that, yes. But it says something before and after, which is quoted, that reveals what it means. We use Scripture to interpret Scripture. We don't just take one verse and run with that alone. What does it say before? What does it say after? Remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose gospel follow, considering the goal of their ministry. This is the reason for their ministry and the object of their ministry, which is to point you and lead you to Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Time and knowledge has sure changed over all the centuries, huh? We have such a blessed opportunity in this life that we live, in this particular time that God has brought us into being. We can look back and see future, or the past, in a way that most couldn't see back in the old days. They couldn't look back at all the writings and stuff that we do. Many in the old country on the other side of the pond, before all the books and stuff began to begin writing. And even after the books were written, many didn't have books to read. We can see that time and knowledge has drastically changed over every occupation, can't we? And the reason is because of new tools. We have cars now, where they had wagons before, as an example. We have new materials. We have all kinds of new things we can make stuff out of. We have new knowledge. Look at how they take a heart out of somebody. A pumping heart. And they put it in somebody else and it still works. How many jobs resemble what they were centuries ago? Almost everything we see around us is different from what it was. Science, medicine, government, teaching, masonry, carpentry, steel, oil industry. Everything has changed from what it was before. But there's one occupation that goes all the way back. All the way back when two people walked this earth. And it has not changed all the way until today. No, I said that wrong. It has not changed even today. Until makes it sound like it's going to change today. I did not mean it that way. Thank you for allowing me a moment to correct myself. There is one profession and one message that is totally the same and it never changes. In fact, to change it would be to ruin it. To change it would be to add something else to it and change it. For it to be that same message, that same wonderful message, yesterday and today, we have to keep it the exact same message. You ever sat in a circle and had people tell a story? Next person. You ever done that? It really does change in that circle. And then the last person tells it, and the first person says, that's not what I said at all. The slightest alteration in this message and in this profession would make it lose its power and would make it become an error. Well, what is it? I'm talking about the gospel ministry. The word preaching the word of God. The ministry is the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, to the end of our ministry, the goal of our ministry is the same. It doesn't matter if Moses is preaching. It doesn't matter if Abraham is preaching. It doesn't matter if David is preaching, Isaiah, Paul, Augustine, Martin Luther, John Calvin, or even me. The message is still Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, and he'll be the same throughout eternity and forever. You see, our gospel is an ancient gospel. Someone told Henry Mayhead once, he said, you've got an old message. I've heard that 1,000 times. Well, he said, well, you know, it's really older than that even. It's an ancient gospel message of God's grace in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees said to Lord Jesus Christ once, they said, we have Moses. They had Moses as their minister. They were saying, we go back further than you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're only 33 years old. We know you. You're a carpenter. You were just born to this Mary and Joseph. We know who you are. We follow Moses. That goes back long further than you. The Lord said, well, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses spoke of me. God said Moses spoke of him. Oh, well, then they said, well, Abraham's our father. Well, okay, Moses wasn't back far enough for you. Now we'll go back further. Abraham. We're sons and children. We're the children of Abraham. Abraham is our father. And our Lord said to them, if you were the sons of Abraham, you would love me. Because even Abraham rejoiced to see my day. That's the Lord's word. You see how we're going back here, folks? You see how the message continues to be the same? Abraham saw it and was glad. And the Lord says, before Abraham was, even before Abraham, I am. Catching the message? Well, then they said this. They said, the Christ is the son of David. And he said to him, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he, in other words? And they said, well, he's the son of David. And our Lord said, then why did David call him Lord if he is his son? Why did David say, speaking of Christ, Lord? He said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You see, folks, Jesus of Nazareth is David's Christ and Moses' subject and Abraham's Redeemer. I am the same today. Our Lord says, I am the same forever. Now, how is this good news to you and I? Well, he also says, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. He also says that all the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's going to continue on until the last one comes to the Lord. And then the Lord's going to come back. And there's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth. There's a whole lot of people in the world around us, folks. A whole lot of people, and I want this to sink into you as it sinks into me. I was right there with them, walking along just as they were. I will be my own God. I will not have that one rule over me. I will rule myself. I'll decide when I want to walk down the aisle. I'll decide if I want to go play golf. I'll want to decide if I want to go drink. I'll do this. I'll do that. I will make myself above God. And every single one in this room was just like that at one time or another, even if you went into some other building and thought you were worshiping some God. There's only one God. And it's the God of this scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ, ruler of everything. Amen. And we can take solace in the fact that He does not change. Isn't that a good thing to you? I mean, I think to myself, oh, you know, the Lord has saved me, but yet, John, you just said something in front of that man down there on the dock that did not sound like a saved person at all. I'm glad my Lord does not change.
Yes.
I'm glad. I'm thankful. Because he could have changed his mind about John right then and there and said, you know what, I really don't want that one. He's not very good after all. There's nothing new, folks, about the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you cannot change it. If you try to change the gospel, you'll ruin it. You'll destroy it. You'll take its effect away. If it could change, then you couldn't count on it. Could you? You can't count on John Reeves. I make mistakes. I might change my mind about something and decide I'm not going to go over to that other place tomorrow. I'm going to go over here instead. You never know. Our Lord does not change. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That means the love of Christ for his people never changes and never will, no matter what we have done. And we've done a lot. In fact, his love is so strong for us that he took everything that we have done upon himself. Paid for it. Paid for it with his own blood, the blood of the Creator, the blood of God. Perfect in every single way, never a sin. So much so that the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my Son in whom I am pleased.
Well pleased.
Oh. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. You see, God is immutable. And the word immutable means unchangeable. God never learns anything and he never forgets anything. He says, known of God are all his works from the beginning. He declareth the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not even done, saying, my counsel shall stand. So God doesn't change. Anytime when a preacher comes to a pulpit, or you're going and you're visiting somewhere. Kathy and I have done this. We went to Fort Bragg one time, and you know what? Let's go over to a church. I don't know. Find a Presbyterian church. Find something. Let's just go check it out. If you ever go and do that, don't be afraid to get up and walk out if they're preaching a lie. We did. They chased us all the way out to the car. Well, what are you going for? I've got something here to stay. Well, you know, just, you guys go ahead and do that. But if a preacher, you hear a preacher say this, I've got a new message for you this morning. I got something you're not, you know, it's just totally new. Nobody's ever spoken of it. Run from that fool as fast as you can. And everyone who sits and listens to him is a fool also. The reason is because God says, I do not change. When he finished the word of God, our Lord says that if any man adds to the book, I will add to him the plagues of this book. That's how serious it is to change God's word. If any man takes away from this book, I will take his name out of the book of life. So his message will never change and his gospel will never change. It does not matter if Moses, Abraham, David, Isaiah, or you, or I, or anyone else, we all should be preaching the same message. Sin is still the same, isn't it? In Adam, all died. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can trace the mess that we are in right back to Adam himself. Sin hasn't changed. It's the same, isn't it? Still causes death, doesn't it? One of my greatest One of the most wondrous things that the Lord has laid on my heart when I'm looking at somebody else. The heart is desperately wicked. Ooh, John, why would you think that about somebody else? Because when it is, then I won't be bothered by it because I already know it's going to be. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Makes it easy to forgive somebody when you know that they're just like you. I wouldn't be surprised at all when somebody does something wrong to me, because I know the heart is desperately wicked. Sin has not changed. Somebody once said that the world was getting worse. No, it's not. It's the same today as it was then. Men still go about wanting to be men. See what I have done? Look at all the good stuff that I do. Look at all the good works we do as a church. We feed the poor. We take care of this. We take care of that. The world is not getting worse. It's no worse than when Adam fell. Sin is still sin. There may be more open about it. Didn't have as many gays walking around so openly calling themselves what they are in today's world, but they were there. They've always been there. Men are men. The situation has not changed. And sin is no different today than it was yesterday. Death is the same today, isn't it? Folks are still dying. I know that we're doing our best to live hundreds of years on this earth, but it won't work. The average age is still 70 years old. It might vary a little bit. 70, 80, whatever. How many 140-year-olds have you heard about? How many 800-year-olds have you heard about? There's a couple, but they've been way back when, huh?
Yeah.
Death is the same. Judgment is the same. The Lord says, I'm going to judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ, whom I have ordained, whereof I have given witness to all men. He says, I have raised him from the dead. Judgment hasn't changed, has it? We're all going to be judged according to our union and our relationship, or lack of it, with his Son. He's going to judge the world by that man, Jesus Christ. Faith is the same. It's the same story. But what makes it new for today is, if it was the same all the way back then, and it was good news to them back then, is it not good news today?
Yeah.
Christ came to the world to save sinners. And I'm the chiefest of all. Trust me, Daryl. I'm glad you don't know too. So we're both glad, aren't we? We're both glad that Christ came to save sinners. He's the same yesterday as he is today. The blood atonement is the same as it was yesterday as it is today. Those who walked this earth before the Lord Jesus Christ, they looked forward to that sacrifice. The very first sacrifice was at the Garden of Eden, wasn't it?
Yes.
See, there's the story. There's the good news. Those who were naked in their own sin, who chose, I will not have God rule over me. I will not do what he said. I will eat of this tree. Ran from him, naked as can be, with their sin before them now. And what did our Lord do? He killed an animal to wrap them in skins. He shed blood. And that's what they looked forward to. The blood that was shed on the cross. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You see, the gospel's a lot older than even creation, isn't it? There comes assurance here, folks. This is where we have our assurance from. The gospel goes all the way back before your star ever twinkled in the sky.
Yes, sir.
Everything that was created for this very fact that Christ would come into the world and save sinners. And all that the Father giveth him shall come to him.
Yes,
sir. And those that come to him he will nowise cast out. Because because he gave them life to come to them.
Amen.
Lazarus didn't have any life in him. He was dead as can be. He stinketh. And so did you and I before the Lord called us out of that darkness. Do you hear how the news, the good news of the gospel, is just as good today as it was then? It's the same message. It's the same message I preached last week. It's the same message Pastor Gene preached a year ago when he was still here, or a little over a year ago. Same message that Don Fortner preaches. Same message that Norm Wells preached 3 weeks ago. Some people might think that that message is getting old. Maybe you don't hear it. Because sinners hear about their Savior. My sheep hear my voice. Our Lord says in the book of John, you don't hear it because you're not my sheep. If you don't hear the word of God, you might want to ask yourself, am I a sheep of God? You don't hear how that message has been around forever and how great that message is. You want to get down on your knees and ask God, am I one of yours? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what Moses sung about. The song of Moses and the Lamb is the blood of Christ.
Yes.
Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's what Moses said. The resurrection is the same. It's the same story about that. Mercy is the same. Back in Exodus 33, long, long time ago, God said to Moses, he says, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And then Paul came along so many years later and wrote in the book of Romans, verse chapter 9, he says, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. And I will be gracious to be who I will be gracious. Paul and Moses preached the same message. They preached the same profession and the same vocation, the same message, the same gospel. It is not of him that dwelleth or him that runneth. It is God that showeth mercy. We got no new Bible. People are trying to make a whole bunch of new translations out of the Bible. But there's no new Bible. It's the same word. The same word that points the people of Christ, the people of God, the chosen, the elect, those that were predestined to be formed to the image of God, to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You can take this book and you can come up with all kinds of other stuff for it. You can just drive down the street here and find that at just about every mile or so. There's at least another church, right? One right across the street here, several down the street. I've told you this before. You go back to Kentucky and Tennessee, and there's one on every corner, and some corners have all four with churches on them. Try not to go too long here, but I want you to listen to one thing with me, if you would. There are three things that a man learns when he learns about the gospel. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in religion or how involved you are in religion or how wise you think you are. There are three things that a man learns when he learns the gospel. And these things never change. They've been around since Abel, and they'll be around for eternity. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Do you know? What really happened on the cross at Calvary? Do you really know? What really happens when God, in His mercy and in His wonderful grace, meets a sinner and conquers him and saves him? Do you know?
Salvation is accomplished.
These three things have been true from Abraham to this very day. And I'll go over them just quickly. First of all, what happened in the garden? Charles Spurgeon had this to say about what happened. He said, "Let a man go wrong here on what happened in the garden, and his whole system of theology is gone wrong. It's like heading in the wrong direction from the starting gate. It's like running a race. Instead of going the way the track goes, you'll go the other way. And you'll never reach the final destination, which is the end, the crossing, the line. If a man doesn't start right, his whole system of theology is wrong, and the starting place is what happened in the Garden of Eden. Something happened that has affected every single human being that ever walked this earth. And the Bible reveals it this way. It says, first of all, back in the garden, God created man in His own image. And I'm going to try to be as plain and simple as this as I can be. And I quote from Scripture for most of the things I say, but God made man upright and holy. He created man in His own image. Man walked with God. And that man's name was Adam. God breathed life into Adam. And he became a living soul. And then He said, "Obey Me and live." That's the summary. There was one tree in the garden. Now, many want to try to say it was an apple tree or something, but really nobody knows. And our Lord said, if you eat of that tree, you will die. It was a covenant of works. Man was placed under God's government and under God's covenant in obedience to God. This included everything that he had. This was the one law. Obey Me and live. Disobey Me and you shall surely die. In Isaiah 14, we read about the fall of Satan. His sin was this, that he said, "I will be like God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend to the north. I will be like God." And he says that he is saying that he will not have God rule over him. Isn't that what Adam and Eve said? Isn't that what Adam said? I'm not supposed to eat of that tree. You know, the Lord said, in the day thereof that thou eatest. That means God said, you're going to eat of that tree in a way. In that day, when you eat that fruit, you will die. And Adam said, I'm going to eat that fruit. And he died. You say, well, wait a minute. That's Adam's sin. I didn't eat of that tree. Folks, you're going to act just like you want to be your own God. You will throw off the rule. You will throw off the reign and the government of God and will no longer be a subject unto Him. That's how we come into this world. David said the same thing. He said, the fool has said that his heart, there is no God for me. I will be of my own God. And that's what Satan said to this woman. And we know what happened after that. Adam took of the fruit also. What they were both saying is, we will not have this man to rule over us. They threw off his sovereignty. And we will be as gods ourselves. Man wasn't slightly wounded. He died. He is dead in trespasses and sin. When Adam sinned, the whole nation of mankind, all of mankind, at that point, have a nature against God. Men come into this world without God, without hope, We are separated from God in our sins. We are destined to be damned unless something happens. And that brings us to the cross. What happened on the cross of Calvary? In the garden, men fell. On the cross, men were restored. Payment was made. Not for all mankind, though, is it? To say that God loves everybody and His blood was shed for everybody means two things. It means, first off, that nobody's ever going to go to hell. And we know that's not correct. But it also means that the blood that was shed on that cross was worthless. If our Lord says that the blood covered the sins of His people, could any of those people go to hell afterwards? No. The blood of God was shed for His people. That's why our Lord says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And all who come to me, I shall in no wise cast out." He knows who's going to come to Him. Because He's going to come to them in the Spirit of God and give them faith. The gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that there were two Adams. The first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam is of the earth and earthly, and the second Adam is the Lord of heaven. In Adam we died, and in Christ we are made alive. In the second Adam, Christ said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," to the Lord. That is just the opposite. Through one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. Through the other's obedience, we were made righteous. This is the imputation or the impartation. By one man, by this one called Adam, came death. By the God-man came resurrection and life. Yes. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all, and by the righteousness of one, the free gift of life came upon all who are in Him. He represented us. He stood where we should be standing. He fell when we should have fallen. He died instead of us, where we shall live. That's what the Bible says. When Christ came, He represented a new people, a new nation, a new kingdom. All who are in Him and are restored and live. You see, the fall in the garden was a total fall, but the restoration on the cross of Calvary was a total restoration. Christ cried out, "It is finished," and it is finished. All of God's elect are washed in His blood right now. Not tomorrow by something that you have done, but by what He did 2,000 and some odd years ago on the cross. What happens in a sinner's heart when God meets him? When God Almighty meets him and conquers him and God reveals Christ to his heart? First of all, he believes God. "Whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life." You see, the key word is, "Who shall ever believe?" That's the real key word to John 3:16. The world wants to take that verse and say, "For God so loved the world," and they want to run with that world thing. But the key is, "Whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life." You see where the story gets real good today? The same story I heard yesterday, the same story I heard 20 years ago when the Lord called me out of darkness. I believe God because He's given me the ability to believe Him. That's the Lord putting life in John Reeves. That's the Lord putting the life in all of His elect. We believe God. We believe all of His Word. Not just verse 8, but verse 7 that goes along with it. "I am the same today and forever. I do not change." We love God because He first loved us. We love His Word because it continues to point us to Him. It takes our minds and our fleshly thoughts off of ourselves and it points us to our Savior. We love God's people, for they love the same God we do. Everyone that loveth is born of God. We're not born of God because we love Him, but because He loves us. We're not born of God because we believe. We're born of God because we believe because we are born of God.
Yes.
I confuse myself in my own writings at times. Our Lord closes with this. He says, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God." This man we're speaking of is a new creature. He walks in the Spirit of God. He walks not in the flesh. He walks in the Spirit of God. He minds the things of God. He lives in the grace of God. It is my life. It is your life. He grows in grace and the fruit of the Spirit. He will also continue in faith. Not like the seed that grows up and then the sun comes on it and wilts it. But a seed that flourishes is even in times of drought. Because it is our Lord who keeps us. I shall never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that. Do you?
Yes.
God's people continue in the faith. They don't quit. And we shall never die. We have a life eternal, for He has promised it. Do you know what happened in the garden? Do you truly know what happened in the garden? Do you know what happened on the cross? Do you know what happens to a sinner? A sinner who is saved by God. We're not talking about when some preacher talks him into professing a faith. When some preacher says, "Come down to the front and pray some prayer." We're talking about when God reveals to your heart these things. When God reveals Himself in one of His elect, the message never changes from that point on. It's always going to be. It always has been. And it will be forever and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.